Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY 2027 results conference call of Sachepalli Publishers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gautam Nagar from Equirus Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. A very good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Q1 FY 2027 earnings call of Sachepalli Publishers Limited. From management team, we have with us Mr. Harish Sachepalli and Mr. Abhinav Sachepalli, Executive Directors. The call will begin with the opening remarks from the management. After, we will open the floor for the Q&A. With that, I would like to hand over call to Mr. Harish, sir, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Oh.
Opening remarks will be read by Mr. Abhinav.
Yes. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We warmly welcome all our investors, analysts, and stakeholders. We sincerely appreciate your continued trust, confidence, and support. We are pleased to report a strong start to FY 2027, driven by healthy demand across our publishing and integrated education businesses. Our continued focus on strengthening our ecosystem through quality educational content, digital learning, technology-enabled supply chain capabilities, and an expanding institutional network has enabled us to deliver robust operational and financial performance. During the first quarter of FY 2027, total income increased by 159% year-on-year to 45.18 crores, reflecting strong execution and increased adoption of our academic solutions. EBITDA stood at 9.2 crore, registering a growth of 31%, while profit after tax grew by 42% year-on-year to 6.3 crores. We also reported EPS of 4.21 compared with 4.03 in the corresponding quarter last year. Our performance reflects the strength of our integrated business model, which combines educational publishing, digital learning, printing infrastructure, and technology-enabled academic solutions to create long-term value for schools, educators, students, and parents. During the quarter, we continued to strengthen our integrated education ecosystem by expanding the capabilities of our Pelican platform, enabling schools to procure textbooks, notebooks, uniforms, stationery, and other academic essentials through a centralized and technology-driven platform. We also enhanced our digital supply chain infrastructure, improving connectivity between publishers, vendors, schools, and parents to ensure more efficient procurement and timely delivery. Our direct-to-parent initiative also continued to gain traction, allowing parents to conveniently purchase school-specific academic products through dedicated digital channels. At the same time, we continue to diversify our product portfolio by expanding into stationery, skill development products, and competitive examination material, creating additional long-term growth opportunity beyond our core publishing business. Another important milestone during the quarter was our backward integration progress. Through the acquisition of Advanced Notebook Manufacturing Machinery, this strategic initiative marks our transition from trading to in-house notebook manufacturing, which is expanding and strengthen quality control, improve supply chain reliability, enhance customization capabilities, and support long-term margin improvement. We also remain focused on expanding our presence across schools and institution partners while continuing to invest in our content portfolio, operational infrastructure, and technology capabilities. Our objective is to build a comprehensive academic ecosystem that addresses the evolving needs of educational institutions and creates sustainable values for all stakeholders. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the opportunities before us. With our strong educational legacy, integrated business model, expanding digital capabilities, and disciplined execution, we believe that Shapoorji Pallonji is well-positioned to sustain its growth trajectory and capitalize on the increasing demands for technology-enabled educational solutions. Before we conclude, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to our employees, customers, distribution partners, shareholders, and all other stakeholders for their continued confidence and support. With that, I would now like to open the floor for questions and discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhushan, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Hello.
Hello, sir. I'm Harish Dachapalli. I'll be answering the questions from here.
Yes. My first question was on, are there any risk of change in curriculum or in the last 10 years, have you faced any such a risk?
Post-independence, the curriculum was completely revamped three times, sir, so far. The last update was in 2020 when the new education policy was introduced. Before that, it was in 1990 and prior to that, it was in 1970s. So only on whatever happens every year, there is a minor change in the syllabus, but we are intimated before because we publishers are all been in the industry for a very long time. So we get information early and then whatever that particular chapter or lesson or a paragraph, whatever changes has to be made, we make it in the coming editions. That's how the industry works.
Okay. And my second question was on our declining gross margins. In the last 2 years, we have seen what I've observed, our gross margins and EBITDA margins have declined. So, can you explain that?
Actually, the gross margin has not declined, sir. What has happened was in the last year, Q1, our raw material purchase was in the Q4 of the previous year because of the 10 days price variation or, you know, delivery of the material. This year, most of the material got delivered after April 1st. So, out of the raw material booking has happened in the Q1. So that is showing as a that has affected the Q1's balance sheet, but overall profit of the company will going to be remain the same 17% or 18%, which has happened last year also.
Okay, and my third question, last question was on B2B versus B2C mix. We currently have 70% B2B mix and 30% B2C mix. And since our majority of the revenue comes in June or March to June quarter, so what kind of mix are we expecting in the next 2 to 3 years in B2B, B2C?
So we get revenue from major revenue from two quarters, sir, that is Q4 and Q1. And Q2 and Q3 is comparatively lesser because most of our products are educational related. And about the mix, last year, we've introduced a direct tool of purchase for parents where they can purchase textbooks or other academic needs through the company directly with tying up with the schools. This has increased our ticket size from 1 lakh per school to 40 lakhs per school. But going forward, the mix is going to be same, 70-30, but the turnovers will increase on both fronts.
Okay, thank you, and best of luck for future.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. I repeat, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Guneet Singh from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, can you help me understand why trade receivables have gone up significantly from around 75 crore in March to around 100 crores currently, and how much of this is outstanding for more than 6 months and more than 1 year?
Hello, sir. Trade receivables have increased because our sales have, usually our sales are booked in Q4 and Q1. So that is why the trade receivables in that quarter has increased. But now out of the 100 crores, more than 40% has been recovered by July and August. By October, November, 90% of the receivables will be recovered. Usually this is how the trend of the industry it is.
So as on date, receivables will be around 60 crores?
Yes, around 60 to 65 crores, yes. Because we've covered most of the payments in July. Usually once the schools reopen on June 15th or June 18th, schools start paying us, distributors, and distributors will start paying us. So major payment of our 40 to 50% comes up in July, and balance payment comes till September ending, or maximum October 30th.
Okay. How much of it would be over 6 months? And I mean, what is the reason for receivables being over 6 months?
Sir, it is not over 6 months. So what happens, you know, we have other products also in the company, like, you know, holiday home works, then there is supplementary material, worksheets. The sale is continuous. Like once you have a tie-up with the school for the main textbook, we get additional orders from that same school. So even though the receivable is recovered, the new bills are entered. So it has happened. So usually 10% of the money will definitely be over 6 months. Because, you know, when, let's say if there's a billing from a school of around 5 lakhs or 10 lakhs, they usually end up paying 3 to 4 lakhs. And that 1 lakh they'll pay after, you know, the return stock, or, you know, by then if they place another additional order, that delay will come on. So 90% of the payments will be recovered before 6 months only. Only 7 to 10% will get blocked a little bit.
Got it. So out of 45 crores, how much of sales would be from this Pelican, the e-commerce platform, and how much would be directly still to the schools?
Out of the 45 crores in the Q1, sir?
Yeah.
Around 30 crores will be from the sale of textbooks, sir, and 15 crores came from the Pelican Edu Supply e-cut.
Got it. But you mentioned that for Pelican, payment is made upfront. So,
yes.
So, I mean, the receivables should have looked better because 15 crores, which is about 35% of sales, is coming from upfront payments. But still, the receivables have worsened. So,
no, but see, the 100 crores receivable is for Q4 and Q1, sir. So what happens is, schools start placing orders from October. Let's say CBSE and ICSE schools place order from October to March. State board schools start placing orders from April to June. But reopening of schools for CBSE, ICSE, Cambridge IB or State Board, everything happens in June 15th only. And let's say we are supplying around 10 to 12,000 schools across India. We cannot dispatch all 12,000 schools worth of product in 20 days or 30 days. We need 3-4 months of time to dispatch that product. Because this goes across India to different schools, different districts, different states. So packing of that material, you know, from the day the product leaves our warehouse, it is get invoiced. But this bill get accrued only in June.
Got
it. So it is a invoicing and accrual difference is there. That is the only difference. The same problem you will feel in polymer industries also.
Got it. So this 30 crore sales, they are made directly to the schools itself. So, I mean,
directly to the schools, sir. We have distributors. Through distributors, these books go to the schools.
Got it. So we completed some backward integration, and still our EBITDA margins, if we look at year on year, have fallen from 40% to 20%. So can you help me understand why did our EBITDA margins almost half year on year?
No, but you know, you should not consider in our industry, sale comes only in two quarters, Q4 and Q1. So it is not very fair to consider. Sorry?
I'm talking about just Q1. If you compare Q1 this year to Q1 last year, margin.
Yeah, so that's what happened. Last year, most of the raw material was purchased in Q4 of the previous year. This year, most of the raw material got purchased earlier, but the stock got delivered and only in Q1 time. So because of the invoicing which happened after April, it is showing the effect in the EBITDA margin. But if you come back to the complete Q1 to Q4 overall year, our margins will come back to normal. This keeps happening here in industry. Let's say if I'm purchasing raw material in Q4 of a previous year or Q1 of the current year, depending on the delivery of the raw material also, it will change the balance sheet.
Okay, so you expense the raw material out even if the products are not sold?
I'm sorry?
I mean, do you expense the raw material even if the products are not sold?
Oh, I mean, when I purchase the raw material, the invoice comes, I have to take a purchase in my accounts, no? Irrespective of the item is sold or not.
Okay, you expense out the raw material irrespective of whether you make the sale or not.
You see, sale happens later on. Raw material comes first because we need time to produce production also, no? Once we purchase the raw material, we produce, make it into a book, and then we start selling.
Got it. So basically,
Yeah.
raw material flows through the P&L as soon as you purchase it.
Yes, as soon as we get an invoice from our vendor, it will get executed in our accounts, no?
Got it. So, sir, for FY27, are we on track to reach around 250 crore revenues and 25 crore PAT?
Yes, sir. Because this year we are estimating to close around 130 to 140 crores of turnover by the end of Q4. And our team has increased, our sales marketing team has increased, number of states, business has increased, even in the Pelican Edu Supply from 50 schools. Now we've already tied up for more than 100 schools for the coming year, and we have another 50 to 60 schools which are on the pipeline where we are trying to negotiate the deals. If that goes ahead, we are easily looking at a 220 plus crores turnover in the 27 FY.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. I'll join back with you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. I repeat, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Kshitij, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have few questions. I see Q1 FY27 revenue grew 159% year-on-year to 45.18 crore. So
Yes, sir.
What were the key growth drivers and how much of this growth is sustainable?
Sir, everything is sustainable here because usually when a book gets prescribed in the school, the business lasts for 3 to 4 years in that school. So let's say I get an order from one particular school, that means I have a confirmed order for the next 3 years from that particular school. So the cost of acquisition reduces over the 3 years. And most of the business is sustainable. So these are long-term contracts. It's not just 1 year and next year we'll have to work from scratch or from zero. Next year, our only intention is to get more number of schools or increase our percentage share of business inside that particular school.
Okay.
And going forward, we've introduced notebooks and IFT panels also in schools because we've noticed that, wherever we are providing technology along with our textbooks in the schools, we have noticed that the school is not having the hardware for it. So we tied up with certain companies where we can provide hardware as a solution altogether, textbooks, notebooks, and hardware together to a school. So now we are estimating more and more turnover coming into books going forward.
Okay, so as I see, company has expanded into Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, Gujarat, and Assam. So
Yes, sir.
what's been this initial response, and what revenue contribution do you expect from this new market over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, so the response was very good. There have been more product adoption, and then even on the first year also we got good response. But now about market share, right now our market share is around 1% of that particular states. But in the next 3 years, we are estimating to grow it to 5%.
So any particular state strongest transaction?
As of now, since we originate from the south and our head office is in Hyderabad, Telangana, Andhra Pradesh, and Karnataka are our strongest states.
Apart
But then,
from
apart from these strongest states, we are right now present in Tamil Nadu, Goa, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, Assam, West Bengal, Chhattisgarh, and Orissa.
So maximum you have covered already.
We have covered, but percentage share of business is very less in other states compared to the south. The percentage is 1 to 2%, but we see a huge potential. And depending on our production capacity, our marketing capacity only, we are growing. But next 3 years, we are easily estimating with our multiple products, with more SKUs, with our existing schools getting more percentage of business and new schools getting adding on, by FY27, we are projecting around 220 to 250 crores of turnover.
what's your strategy to grow this business in other states?
Yeah, so what has happened is previously in the 10,000 schools are present, we were present. Out of the 100 crores of turnover which we were doing, let's say 93 or 95, whatever, our school ticket size was around 1 lakh. After the Pelican EduSupply online tool has been created for the parents to purchase directly in support with the school, our ticket size has gone up from 1 lakh to 40 lakhs per school. And here we are not just getting revenue from our selling our textbooks. We are also getting orders for other textbooks, notebooks, stationery from the parents. And slowly we are venturing into uniform business also. This year we did a pilot project of 3 schools trying to understand all the challenges and what all problems will come in terms of sizes or material and all that. Slowly we'll start scaling up that particular model in our patent schools where we have confirmed orders for the next 4 years, 5 years. We'll start adding these products into those schools also.
So in how much time you have told? You have starting with stationery?
We are already trading stationery. We are purchasing stationery from companies like DOMS and Nataraj, Kamlin, etc., and then trading it to schools. And notebooks also we were purchasing from ITC, Navneet, and other companies. We were trading it to schools. This year, instead of purchasing notebooks from outside, we built our own machinery. We started our own product because we have good amount. Every year, our notebook business is in crores. So instead of purchasing from somebody for a lesser margin, why don't we manufacture our own notebook? That's how we got into notebook now. And we'll be promoting our notebook with our textbook to schools. Going forward, if once our quantity in stationery increases, we might start a white label stationery product also for ourselves.
So when you will be starting this other product?
We are just trying to scale up, sir. Right now, if you talk about stationery like pens, pencils, or sharpeners, we are at a quantity of 10,000 per piece each. The moment we reach around 15,000 to 18,000 pieces, like a geometry box and all, then we'll be white labeling our own product.
Understood, understood.
Because stationery, huge quantities is less margin, but then the only way you can customize your own product when you are at a quantity of 18,000 to 20,000 pieces of any item.
Sorry, can you repeat the margins percentage? In stationery, how much?
Not stationery percentage. What I'm trying to say is when we white label a product in stationery, we need a certain amount of quantity which we'll be able to sell. So when we are reaching at a 15,000 to 18,000 quantity of per piece, for example, if a pencil box, a box will have 10 pencils. Such boxes, if I'm reaching at an 18,000 or a 15,000 quantity, then it's easy to white label and customize it according to company's brands instead of purchasing it from some other vendor outside. Automatically, margins will increase by 15% more compared to purchasing from outside.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking, margin difference.
Increase of margin is 15%. Overall margin will be different.
Okay. Okay. And regarding this EduSupply platform, Pelican EduSupply platform.
Yes, sir.
So that school-linked e-commerce model appear to be important growth drivers, correct? So when do you expect this platform to become a meaningful contributor to your revenue and your profitability?
Instead of selling a regular textbook business, this Pelican EduSupply is little more complicated because where you have to procure material from other people, make sets, make boxes, then generate a school specific link, then school forward these links to parents. Parents will place order, then this box get delivered to their house like how Amazon or Flipkart or anybody is doing. So this is a longer process and there's a lot more QC quality control required and right box, right child. Everything has to go as per place. So we are using technology as well as people. Last year, when we started it, we started with 3 schools. Now, this year, we did 50 schools. Next year, we want to scale up to 100 or 150 schools. Because you can't just grow up to 500 schools or 1,000 schools in this model. Then you'll fail in supply. So I don't want to take a risk there because our relationship with the schools is not just this. We have a textbook sale also with the school. So these clients have a good amount of trust over us. From ages, they've been buying our textbooks. So when we introduce a new tool, we make sure that we give 100% accuracy and 100% efficient services. So for that reason, from 3 to we came 50, next year we plan to do 100 and 150 schools. We already tied up with almost 100 schools because these 50 schools are only started referring. Oh, these guys, this company has come up with so-and-so solution and it has made it easy for us to supply this product. Why don't you use to the neighboring schools? And they have approached us. Out of that, we are also trying to negotiate deals that if the school is prefer to take our school, our textbooks, which are manufactured in the company, then we are tying up with them so that we get sale across multiple products of the company can also be sold through this tool.
Can you just give the figure like current parent adoption rate in this e-commerce platform?
So right now, out of the 130 crores of turnover which we are estimating this year, 30% of the sale is coming from e-commerce.
30%. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what about this FY28 on this?
I'm talking about the current year, we'll be doing 30% of it. Next year also the percentage will be same, but business will grow.
Yeah,
the ratio will be 70-30 only.
70-30 only. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Because both teams are working, and since our USP is stronger than the textbook, that team is also equally growing and getting more and more orders. We've also made our products better so that the adoption rate in schools are getting better. Ratio will be same, but quantum of business will grow.
Okay, understood. And then one last question regarding this AI driven, like the V-Study digital ecosystem. So how do this initiative improve your customer retention or monetization over the long term?
So just to give you a brief about our industry, usually what used to happen is from 2020 to in the last 6-7 years, textbooks were sold by somebody else and technology was sold by somebody else. Like edtech companies who are providing technology, they're trying to sell the technology to school, but they were not involved in the mass textbook supply business. So we thought that going forward, if these people come into textbook business, it could be a loss to us, or we might lose a very good schools or our business. So what publishers like us, we sat down and we decided that, you know, why don't we introduce technology in-house? Then we've all built our own LMS learning platform systems, learning management systems for schools. From you know, they can just upload a PDF and they can see how the lesson. They can use AI to ask more questions. It can redirect the videos. Then they can take a test generator software, everything included. Even student attendance can be taken through our software. Complete learning management system software. We spent certain amount of crores in developing that software. Then we decided, instead of selling this software, why don't we give the software for free to schools? And how do we recover our cost by giving this free? What we did, for example, my math textbook is around 200 rupees. I increased the MRP by another 10 to 12 rupees and started giving this technology for free. Millions of copies I'm selling, but if I increase the MRP by another 10 or 5 rupees by the textbook, it doesn't show much of a difference. But it is helping us cover all the server costs and the creation of technology costs. Now what is happening, any edtech company is going to any school saying that we have this so-and-so technology we want to sell per student cost or whatever. School itself is telling that we already have this for free, we don't want to buy it. So it has strengthened our position in schools for a longer period.
Understood. So is there any, you know, competition in this?
In terms of technology or in the overall business?
In terms of technology.
Yeah, so once, you know, when we had a publishers forum meeting after COVID, because when we saw a traction from tech companies like Byju's and others coming over into the industry, we all sat down, we thought we made a collective decision saying that, you know, we should introduce this technology free. Who out of the X number of publishers available in India, whoever has introduced this technology like us, grew faster than the people who have not introduced. But going forward, I feel everybody will be coming into this platform. They will create their own technology and they'll start pushing it for free. And once the technology comes for free, it, you know, the school gets used to our technology, they won't replace the textbook. They continue it more than 3 to 4 years also. That's what we noticed.
Understood.
Because getting hands on the new technology again, you know, it'll take some time, that lag of interest and other things. So this way, you know, once they got used to our touch and feel, our boards, how to use our tools inside the software, then they don't easily replace the textbook after that. Unless until there's a major problem in the textbook, but then we have a whole great R&D team who always keeps working and updating our textbooks also.
Understood. One last question, sir. Looking ahead, this the top 3 strategic priorities for you from your end, and what are the key milestones should we investors track over the next 12 months?
Yeah, so my main strategy is, let's say my market share across all the states is right now, let's assume it is 2%. I want to grow in this existing state my market share to 5%. That is one main strategy where my product adoption rate inside the school has to get at least 5% of market share in the states where the percentage is very low. And one more thing is, because we have an in-house notebook now, instead of pushing notebooks to schools who have asked us before, now we will offer these notebooks to everybody wherever we can reach. because it is our own product and we have better margins in our own product. That is the second thing. And third is the Pelican Edu supply, where we see the ticket size increasing from 1 lakh per school to 40 lakhs per school. So we thought, you know, we should scale up that model because we are getting revenue in other sources as well. And we are getting, because the school and the parents have got used to our technology, they are asking us to continue this for the next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. So customer retention rate is becoming longer. Like, you know, we are, once we adopt it, or once our product or our technology getting adopted into the school, now we are, our presence is getting fixed for next 5 years.
Any major contribution you are expecting from this model, like school onboardings or like notebook manufacturing or edu supply or D2C platform?
The major contributions will always be the textbook, because textbook is the main business. Because we get entry for additional products only once the main curriculum is get implemented into the school. So major contribution will always be a textbook once we push the product. And also one more great thing is, textbook is the only product which is sold on quality, on quantity. Quality. As if the book is good only, they'll give an entry. Rest of the products are always sold on quality, like let's say stationery or notebook or even a software tool. So when our strong presence is that, you know, our quality of the product is so good that if we are able to bank in into a school through our textbook, rest of the product is getting very easy for us to convince because they are quality based.
Understood. And one last thing, sir, any exposure apart from, you know, Pan-India, any exposure outside the country you are trying to reach out?
It is definitely there in our 5-year plan, sir, for the Southeast Asian countries, especially Malaysia, Thailand and Singapore. But right now our market share in India is also reasonably low. This Indian market is very huge in terms of education. So the moment we get a good amount of share of business across all the 28 states and 8 union territories, we'll start expanding our export also. Now also we keep getting queries from Malaysia here and there, but the percentage of business is very low there because our concentration there is less and domestic concentration is higher this way.
Yeah, so basically you are cover all of this India and then after that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much and all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. I repeat, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Deepa Mehta, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Oh, yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Please go.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. First of all, congratulations for your F1 results, Q1 results. I will ask two questions about it. First one is, with the current growth momentum, what kind of revenue growth are you targeting for full financial 2027?
Yeah, so we are estimating to get a turnover of around 130 to 150 crores, somewhere in between.
Okay. And do you see notebooks and stationery becoming a meaningful part of the overall business over you the next 2 or 3 years?
We feel that, you know, notebooks and stationery will have a reasonable amount of contribution in the overall business. But because the textbook is a highly marginable product, our concentration will always be on getting the textbook inside the school. Once that happens, because this product gets selected on the content merit, if that happens, you know, the rest of the things is easy to convince. So even if we capture 20 to 30% of our existing school textbook business in terms of stationery or notebook, I will be at 100% utilized for capacity.
Okay. So how many schools are you currently working with and what kind of numbers are you targeting by the end of financial year 2027?
Right now, in terms of supply of textbooks, our product is present in around 13,000 schools. And in terms of technology driven, like the e-commerce model, we are at 50 schools only. And in the 2027, we are estimating around a turnover of around 250 crores.
Okay. You have been expanding into states like UP, Rajasthan, Gujarat, and Assam. Which of those markets do you see contributing meaningful over the next couple of years?
I think UP will be the most meaningful contribution because the population of that state is higher and schools are also more compared to Gujarat and Rajasthan. Out of the four new states, if I'm talking about.
Okay. So as you expand into new states, are you building your own sales network or working mainly through distributors or local partners?
No, ma'am. Actually, the whole company has its own sales network. These distributors are only collective vendors where they procure material because they are in the vicinity of the school. The school ties up with such particular vendor who purchases material from all the publishers or notebook vendors. He creates a basket and supplies to the school. So these distributors don't promote the product. The company is the company executive sales team who is appointed across all these states, districts. They promote the product. Then they get the order. They route the order to this distributor or the vendor who is present in that particular state.
What are the biggest investments you expect to make during financial year 2027 in terms of manufacturing technology and distribution?
So technology, we are continuously investing right now also for our revenues because, you know, previously our tool didn't have an AI integration. Now we have an AI integration. Our LMS was very basic. Now we have a very advanced LMS system which we are providing as complementary to schools. So technology keeps building over time every year. Whatever new is coming, we are also getting adopted into our technology. In terms of machinery, if our notebook manufacturing scales up, we'll be purchasing some more capex investment in the notebook because right now we have the machines what we have for notebook can only sustain like 10 to 20% of the demand of 100% of our market or wherever our presence is there. So if that percentage grows, then we'll be purchasing more and more notebook machines. And in terms of textbook printing machines, we are at an 80% capacity, 85% capacity. So our existing machines are good up to we reach a turnover of around 300 crores turnover.
Okay. So more two questions I have. So how should we think about the company's margin profile as those new businesses start scaling up?
Yeah, so we are estimating a margin of around 17 to 18% PAT year on year. If the quantum of business increases, the percentage might be same, but it will come because, you know, our capex investments or, you know, warehouse, logistics, everything as the company has purchased over time with our own revenues, even before we got listed into the stock exchange. So then, you know, now our most of the percentage now varies only on the raw material costs, not major of a capex investments. So if we scale, all other parameters are fixed in terms of, you know, what is the marketing cost, what is the sales cost, what is the distribution sampling cost, everything. So we are estimating that PAT going forward.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gautam for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Tachipalli Publishers and Equibridge Advisor, I thank everyone for taking time to join today's conference call. If you have any queries, you can connect us at info@equibridge.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Harish, sir. Thank you, Abhinav, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Equibridge Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.